Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark. I'm back with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. Certainly today's guest will fall into that category. I'm really jacked up. But before we get there, I want to remind everybody to check out my website, www.markpattisonnfl.com. And of course, I've got loads of podcasts there, well over 100,000 downloads. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the love. And one of the reasons why that is not only because I have amazing guests like today, but when you give a ratings and review, it actually helps elevate the popularity on iTunes. And so that's a key functionality. So please continue to give me ratings and reviews. And I'm really, really, really grateful for that. Also, we continue to raise money for organization I'm affiliated with, Higher Ground, located here in Sun Valley, Los Angeles, and New York. I've got a campaign called Amelia's Everest, the Lhotse Challenge. As many of you know, I'm going to attempt to climb Mount Everest and then come down, jump in my tent for a couple hours, and then zip up on the other side of Mount Everest, which lies the fourth highest mountain called Lhotse. It's 27,940 feet. And so that was the original goal in terms of financially. And we've now gone way past that and reaching almost 50,000. And we continue to climb higher summits beyond just that. So please check that out. It's a great organization. My daughter has epilepsy, and I do everything I possibly can to pay it forward and help her in any way I can. And finally, as I go and hit up Mount Everest, the journey is going to be at least 2 months. You can follow me on Garmin. I'll have a blog also on the website. Check that out. There's a little button called Follow the Journey, and you can hit that button and go in. Also, insert your email, and I'll be doing updates, live updates from the mountain. So it'll be pretty cool. So check that out. Again, www.markpattisonnfl.com. Okay, let's get into today's awesome guest. He's got an incredible story. His name is London Papa Michael. London, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Where do you get a name like London? In London?
Yeah. So Greek tradition, being half Greek, I'm actually supposed to be named after my grandfather, my dad's dad. And his name was Harry. And my mom said, no way in hell am I going to name my son Harry. It's a nice name, but I want something different and unique. And she liked the name, been to the city a couple times and thought it was cool and different. And I'll certainly take Harry or London over Harry any day.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, so I'm broadcasting from Sun Valley, Idaho. You're all the way in Hermosa. I actually moved out from Hermosa Beach 3 years ago. I came out here on a quick ski vacation and saw a place. And I turned around and said, I'm buying it. And I moved my entire life. And it's changed my life in so many ways. And we're going to get into this. But, you know, so much of your theme is all about action creating reaction. And so, you know, sometimes people get stuck. I don't do well in quicksand. I need to be moving in some direction, because that direction will either tell you that things aren't right or things are right, and you need to move in that direction. But you never know if you just stand still, especially when you're in quicksand. You've got a really fascinating story. And one of the things that really jumped out for me is really this whole theme around the power of forgiveness. Okay. And I think you've got a really deep story in terms of your background, and we're all a product of our environment. I think that we all can either form great personality habits and traits, or they can destroy us. and you grew up in some very challenging situations, and you have not let that rule you, and you've been very conscious about things that you can do to propel you forward and change the past, right? In terms of not holding on to negative ideas and thoughts about the way things played out for you. Give us a little setup about what life for you was growing up, and we'll get into your mom, we'll get into your dad, and then we'll kind of set the stage of, okay, so what did you decide to do about it? So why don't we start there?
Yeah, so, you know, I come from the American dream. My father was Greek and came over to the States to chase the American dream and have a better education. And he met my mom, and it was love at first sight. And I can actually remember from a very early age, I'm 34 now, of love in the household and having two amazing parents that I felt that loved me. And I can still feel that today. And that's very powerful, you know, and life was great living in the States. And then my dad got a phone call of, hey, my dad's sick. And I need to go back over to the little island of Cyprus to.
So this would be your grandfather.
Yes, my grandfather, my dad's dad got sick, and they said, "Hey, we need you to come home to take over the family business." And my dad didn't hesitate, and he packed us up, and we left the States. But we weren't ill will about it. You know, we were all excited, and we were going to go and live our amazing life in Cyprus, and we did. And life was great again. We just had the Cypriot side of things, but I still came back to the States to visit my mom. But slowly, as the years went by, the marriage started to deteriorate, and they ended up getting a divorce. So I moved back to the United States with my mom and my sister, Gabriella, with my mom. And my mom said, "I don't want anything. You don't have to pay child support. Just let me have the kids. And anytime you want to see them and communicate, absolutely, I want you to be in their lives. Just I can't do this anymore as being your wife." So as a 10-year-old kid, you know, I said goodbye to my father, to my hero. And I saw him the following two summers. And the relationship and the closeness and the communication just slowly started to deteriorate. And during that time of losing my father and being back in the States, my mom worked three different jobs. We lived in a trailer with seven other family members in a double wide trailer. But the way I was raised and how amazing my mother was, I wasn't upset about it. I didn't think I had this amazing life taken away from me. I was sad about not seeing my dad so often, but I still had love in the household, and I had name brand clothes, and I was around friends, and I was still a happy kid because of the way my mother was and how she raised me. And she ended up getting remarried, and life was good, so to speak. But that marriage eventually deteriorated as well. And my mom, I saw a side of my mother I'd never seen before. She got into alcoholism, you know, to cope with her pain of the second divorce, you know. And my mother, who became my hero, the sweetest, kindest woman, the woman, a mom that you want everything a mom to be, she was that. And I saw it before my very eyes, of a different side of my mother. You know, she just, life beat the hell out of her. And it ultimately took her life on Mother's Day. I got a phone call on 9:32 a.m. on Mother's Day. My mom was 47 years old. My aunt called me and said, my mom passed away. She ultimately fell in her sleep by drinking too much and taking medication that she was on from her psychiatrist, and passed away in her sleep. I was 25 years old.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how old you were, 25.
Yeah. I was 25 years old. Gabriella, my full sister we have the same father, was 18. And my mom's second marriage had another child, my little sister, Kennedy. She was 10 years old. So Mark, there's no stepdad coming to save me. We don't have a relationship. My dad's not coming to save me. No relationship there. I had to make a choice. You know, was I going to rise to the occasion and be there for my sisters the way I felt like my dad wasn't there for me, and the way my mom wasn't there for me through the way she fell apart? And I chose to overcome it. I chose to find a way to pay for a $15,000 funeral, to overcome not having any life insurance or my mom not having any money in the bank. And I just slowly chipped away at having my sisters be my why, till ultimately I understand living for myself and self-love as well. And through that, I got out of waiting tables because I needed to make more money to provide for my sister and a better life, because there was nobody coming to save us. And I wanted to help her with college, get her a new car. So I got into corporate.
Yeah. So let me ask you, sorry to interrupt here.
Yeah, no problem.
I just want to just clarify a couple of things, because this story is so compelling. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I want to go back, and I want to just drill down just a little bit on you know, you're 25, you really don't owe anybody anything, right? You feel like this abandonment because you don't have any other outside help. You got no money, you know, you're living in a tough situation. But why would that, what was it in you, or what force, when it all came to reality, like you're sitting there on a chair on the side of your bed or somewhere, this moment, which you've got like this lightning bolt coming down and you're saying to yourself, I'm going to be better than this, versus like, you know what, I'm out of here. How did you get to that moment?
You know, the time does stop like you see in the movies, but absolutely within that 5 seconds of time stopping, the first thing I said to my aunt was, promise me you'll take care of my sisters. And that's all I could think about, was like, I thought about myself as a child and how I felt with my dad being gone and how that felt and how it changed me as a boy and into a teenager and then a man. And I thought, I'm just going to be the one that can be there for my sisters. I'm going to figure out a way through the way I was brought up and my dad being my hero and always saving the day and the way he was as a man and the way he treated people, the way my mom always gave love to strangers and great people. I had that love in my heart and I wanted it to give it to my sisters. And that became my why, which ultimately saved my life. Because who knows what kind of route I would have went down if my sisters wouldn't have been in my life. Not that I was, I experimented with some drugs as a college kid. I drank a little bit, but I was never a person that was, doing harm to myself, you know? But I could see myself going down that path with obviously my mom going down that path. And I just wanted to be there for my sisters to help them get through this unimaginable travesty.
Got it. Well, that makes certain sense then. You know, again, you said it perfectly, which is we all have a different why, and you do need to have a why to stay committed to that goal on trying to figure things out and getting to another spot. So, okay, so continue. You're 25. You've got this awful news. Like, how do you elevate yourself out of this? You're committed to it. But now the hard stuff actually has to come in with, you know, how are you going to, there's food, there's clothing, there's shelter, right? Those are the basic three. Yep. And they all require money, right? And you're sitting there with nothing, no resources. I mean, I can't imagine this.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a beautiful moment where some friends and a little bit of the community and people I work with at a restaurant back home, I worked over 12 years. They got together and did a fundraiser and raised like $3,000 for us to help out. Tons of people brought us food. It was insane how much food we had at the house. And I just delved into getting to know Gabriella, the 18-year-old, because Kennedy, the 10-year-old, stayed with her dad, my ex-stepfather. And I started getting to know her more and not going through the motions as a big brother, more turning into a father figure of like, hey, let's attack each day. Let's spend as much time together. Neither one of us liked being alone. And we just became best friends, you know, and it helped us both overcome, you know, the insurmountable odds we were up against. And I got a job in corporate America where I was working for a corporate 500 company. I had the opportunity to make six figures a year and full benefits with only 2 weeks of training. And I said, man, I got to give this a try. Making money waiting tables is good, but now I got to step up to the plate and provide more for me and my sister and, you know, a better life with her going into college and stuff. And I did that, man, and I learned so much. But what I learned the most is I'm not willing to, not necessarily dance with the devil, but it didn't make me feel whole. I wasn't happy, you know. It was nice wearing a suit every day and having the opportunity to meet all kinds of different people. But what I did learn is coaching styles from the manager that I had, who is a mentor of mine now. And I learned how to talk to all walks of life of people, from whether you have money, the color of your skin, your religion, because in that sales business I was in, we dealt with all kinds of people. And through waiting tables and then that job, it just taught me how to be so well-rounded and how to communicate. And something I love doing is speaking and making a connection with people. And that taught me that there was something more for me in life than me sitting in a chair trying to sell stuff while I was wearing a suit for a company and a job that I didn't really believe in. So I decided to take my life in my own hands and get back into a business that I really loved, which is the restaurant business. And two guys that were very successful in that business wanted to get out of that corporate hell. And they asked me to get involved with their restaurant. And I became the bar manager. And it was it's still the most successful, most popular restaurant in town. And I made the most money in my life, but I still wanted more out of being behind a bar.
In what town was this?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I'm from.
Okay.
And ended up becoming friends with a young man that invited me to get in a business proposition to have my own restaurant with him and his father in Florida. And I made a huge mistake. I just did it off of trusting, off of a handshake. I didn't ask any questions. I was just ready to leave my hometown and see if I could make more out of myself than just being a bar manager and continue this pursuit of having a better life and feeling more fulfilled and being able to provide for my sisters any opportunity they needed me. Because I wanted to always be someone that people could count on, whether it's as a friend, as a, you know, eventually as a spouse, as a business person, as your coach, et cetera. And after 7 months, Mark, it would turn out to be a complete travesty. I was broke as could be. And what I learned from that was I took a blind risk and now I take calculated risks. And you don't fail unless you learned. And I learned that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to sacrifice and sell everything I have and move to a town I don't know, go into business with people I don't really know just because I trust them and I'm friends with his son. And I'm looking myself in the mirror, Mark. I'm broke financially, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And I turn on some motivational stuff while I'm, you know, lurking myself in the mirror saying, I got to figure this stuff out and face the man in the mirror. Because what am I going to do next? I'm dead broke and I can't stay in Florida with this restaurant. And I heard Lewis House say, hey guys, I'm going to give you some advice. And everyone listening out there, I want you to really listen to this and write it down. Find someone you admire the most. Tell them your work for them for free. And then tell them you'll pay them. I bet they never heard that before. And I said, wow, what a powerful statement. And I kept thinking about, you know, these people I'd like to work with, Will Smith, Lewis Howes, Steve Weatherford. And lo and behold, I DM Steve Weatherford and I say the exact same statement while I decide to move to New York with a friend and live on a couch for 5 months because I decide to chase a passion of mine, which is helping people, communicating, helping you feel better, and finding out how great you can be. And understanding you're amazing as you are now, but you can be so much more if you devote yourself to something, to an idea, to a commitment and believing in it and honoring it. And amazing to see how your life can flourish. So, and the guy I lived with in New York was a friend of mine and he had his own personal training business. And he said, London, I think you'd be an amazing trainer. Come live with me. See what New York's like. You said it's your mom's favorite city. You've never been here before. Come take on this challenge. I'll teach you everything I know. I'll give you a place to live and you teach me everything you know about fitness. So I sold everything I had and I moved there with two suitcases and several goals. And one of those goals was to work with Steve Weatherford. And I took Lewis's house advice and I DM'd Steve Weatherford.
And who, and just explain who Steve Weatherford is.
Steve Weatherford is a 10-year NFL veteran. He was voted NFL's fittest man. And he won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants and has a couple records for his Super Bowl punts in that game. And now in the motivational fitness space. And I wrote that to Steve and Steve wrote back to me immediately and said, hey, man, I'd never take your money, but I'm looking for guys that have that kind of attitude. And he said, I'm actually putting together something and I'm going to choose between two guys in a little internship and then they're going to work for me for full time. And after my five amazing months in New York, I just knew I couldn't stay there because I'm not a cold weather guy. But I always had this calling to go out to the West Coast, all the opportunity, the weather. And I just gave myself wild permission to keep pushing forward after all the failings that I've been through in life. And I wrote down 10 goals before I moved to Los Angeles. I didn't know anybody on the West Coast. I'd never been to the West Coast before. I didn't have a job lined up, but I had 10 goals. I had 10 suitcases and I had an attitude determined to figure it out. And after 1 year in LA, I kept in tabs with Steve Weatherford and all those 10 goals got accomplished. I worked with Steve Weatherford. I got on podcasts to start telling my story. I got sponsored by a beard company. I fell in love with a beautiful blonde. Like really, I was in love for the first time in my life. I lived by the beach. I had top amazing clients. I trained one of my clients as the top boxer in the country at 16 years old, rated by USA Boxing at his height and weight. And is Olympic hopeful for the 2024 Olympics. And through not giving up on myself and making these amazing connections and putting myself out there with people like you, Mark, and not giving up, here I am 3 years later, still working on those things and accomplishing new goals now. I have a new list. And it's just been an amazing journey that I'm continually learning and growing. And I'm thankful to be here talking to you today, Mark.
That is incredible. Okay, so you actually do go to the West Coast and where you're at today in Hermosa Beach, and you do end up working with Steve Weatherford and you're a trainer. I want to jump back, though, into the story that at the end of the day, you know, you hadn't seen your dad in years and years. And I think, you know, again, what jumped out at me, I mentioned this at the very beginning of the show, is this whole idea around forgiveness, right? So you had a lot of knocks, you'd overcome a certain amount of stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, we really can't fly high if you have heavy weight on your back. And I think that's what you had in terms of some resentment from your dad. You can call it whatever you want, but, you know, negative feelings about that. And meanwhile, your dad, as I understand it, was still living abroad in Cyprus. And so, you know, so how did you make this leap? What was the bridge that you had the recognition that you were carrying it? It wasn't allowing you to really realize all your dreams and everything else that, you know, to be the best version of you by getting in contact with your dad. I mean, there had to be a trigger for that action to create, like, actually, I'm going to go try to figure this out.
Yeah. So, you know, our relationship was pretty good between my father and we just slowly lost contact. And I invited him to my high school graduation and he said no. And that's where our relationship fell apart and we didn't talk for several years. And then we got back in contact through a family friend. And he said, man, I really recommend you getting back in touch with your dad. You don't want to have that kind of hate in your heart, you know, because I live with that, Lennon. My dad passed away and we never got to amend our relationship. And he's like, if I can give you any advice, you know, is to try to reconnect with your father and see if you can mend, you know, what's going on. And I said, you know what, man, you're right. I should do that. And I called my dad and we had this beautiful conversation. We caught up. He's like, hey, I'm not on social media, but I follow you through our cousins and friends. I'm so proud of you. You look great. I saw some football highlight tapes. Damn, you're a great linebacker. And it was like something I always wanted to hear, man. Like, I'm proud of you. You're awesome, you know. But then I never heard from him again. And this chip started building on my shoulder. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough? So I started chasing perfection, making sure I looked a certain way, talked a certain way. And then everybody would like me. Nobody would give up on me. You know, if my dad gave up on me, then something's wrong with me and I need to fix myself. And through back to getting working on myself and my sisters through losing my mom, I just started to understand that I was not a very happy person and I didn't like who I was becoming, you know. And my godfather pulled me aside where the restaurant that I worked at, he owned it. And he said, man, you know, when you're in a bad mood, the whole room can feel it. You know, the energy changes. You're that powerful of a force. And I know you've got these demons you're dealing with and it's understandable, but you need to continue to figure it out because you're better than that. And you don't want to have that kind of negative energy into a room. It's not fair for anybody else. And it's not fair to you in the amazing person you truly are. So I started to just slowly work on like, hey, what can I do to figure this out? And I just started understanding like, I need to let this pain go. And I had to figure it out. And I decided to write down on a piece of paper, I forgive my father, you know, and then I burned it, you know, and I just told myself in my heart that it's time to forgive him and let this weight go. And then I became on the process of, you know, I should tell my story one day and try to make a documentary, which is something I'm working on now and trying to like forgiveness, you know, not forgiving the pain, the angst that you feel, whether you have every reason to be mad at your spouse, your sister, your former lover, your father, even the, I understand the laws of life are telling you certain people should never let you down. I'm sorry, but life happens to all of us. And sometimes you're going to go through that travesty, but you can't let it go. There's a beautiful quote. Those mountains you're carrying, they were only meant for you to climb and to understand you've got to let that weight go and to understand to use that pain for good. So I've turned my pain into fuel to help others. And when I tell my story, ultimately, it helps me heal, Mark.
Well,
and by doing this.
Yeah, but let me back up because I think it's one thing to have that recognition and realization to say, I want to forgive somebody. And then in your case, it's very personal because it's your dad, of course. And Mike, so have you made that bridge where maybe it's a phone call, it's a Zoom call, it's a trip where you guys are in the room and whatever his reaction is or was, you have said, this is my intention. I want to forgive you so I can move forward, you know, and recreate that relationship. Like how has that evolved?
I haven't talked to my father since he called me when my mom died. He called me that night on Mother's Day and he didn't have very many nice things to say. So I pretty much told him to go screw himself. And I haven't talked to my father since. But on this journey I've been on of self-discovery and moving around and figuring out who I am and what I want to do with my life, I want to share this story with the world. And I'm saving that meeting and that conversation for the documentary I'm trying to create. I want to sit down and have an honest conversation with my father and find out his side of the story and let him know that I want to find out what happened. I want to know more about him as a man and how he was raised and what's going on in his life now and see if we can have a relationship moving forward. But I'm willing to put that conversation on hold, to put that conversation on film, to help other people in the world heal.
Yeah, interesting. In order to do that, I think one of the hurdles in going to Cyprus, and this is all just part of the way it is because you have heritage there. If you land on that island, then there's a possibility that you might have to serve in the military for 1 year. Is that true or not true? I mean, it seems crazy.
It's absolutely true. You know, it's like the old Greek Spartan days. You got to learn how to protect your country. And they still have that mindset over there. And if you have Cypriot blood, you are, it is mandatory. It is law that you have to serve in the military. And so for what I'm being told by my connections back in Cyprus, there's a good chance that I will have to serve in the military when I go back for a year. And if I could possibly get a special exemption and only serve for 6 months. So absolutely, I'm not going to go serve in an army for a year for an island that I don't necessarily am connected to anymore. But I am willing to do everything I can to find out about that and overcome any obstacle to get back over there to have this conversation with my father. Because this is just something that has to be done. And I think along with it helping heal me and my father, I think a lot of people could relate to this story, Mark. And that's what I want. I want to help people. I want to help people heal.
So let me ask you this. And this is looking at the other side of it, right? Which is, if I were in your shoes, I mean, look, let's just go back to you, because you always have to build from inside out, right? And part of your building and healing is this forgiveness, grant and pardon. Those were your words. Your father and letting it go, right? So you can be the best version of yourself. And there is a possibility, a realm of possibility, that if you made this connection and you say, hey, Dad, this is my intent and this is what I want to do, it's really important to me. But at the end of the day, he's in some other crazy spot. He's in a dark place. It doesn't even matter. But he doesn't want to forgive or reconnect that relationship. Then how does that affect you in your growth and moving forward? Are you still able to say, you know what, that's your thing. I'm just trying to be the best version. And this is what I need to do. I mean, how do you reconcile that possibility?
That's a great question. And I've thought about it several times, you know, hey, get a film crew and go all the way out there. And what if he slams the door in your face, right? I feel that I am at peace to handle that. If the situation goes the way you're saying, the not so happy side of the story, because I live that already, Mark. He's not there. We don't talk. When I needed him, he wasn't there. I wanted him to be at my high school graduation. He said no.
Yeah, that's
called him when I was in LA and I was moving furniture because I was running out of money. I was moving furniture for $10 an hour, tucked my tail between my legs, put my pride aside and did what I had to do to survive. I actually broke down and reached out to a family friend and had them reach out to my father and said, hey, I hate to come and ask my dad for money, but I'm struggling and I believe I can make it here in LA. I just need some help. And my dad said, call your godfather. You know, that's why he's your godfather, to help you. And my dad didn't help me at all. Didn't try to get my number. Didn't want to talk to me. He just said, hey, reach out to your godfather. He can probably help you. Yeah. But I don't hold hate in my heart. It's the life that I live and I'm at peace with it. He's not in my life and I'm moving on, trying to be the best man I can be.
Yeah. And something that you said earlier, which resonates with me, is this whole notion of understanding your dad. You know, for him to be in that space means there's something that you don't know about in his childhood or his upbringing or some phase, right? This is creating all this, because it's not a natural reaction to have to reject your child, right? And so there's something broken in that, and that needs forgiveness. And maybe he can get there and maybe he can't. But you know, the goal is for you to be, again, a healthy, positive force. And if you can be a mentor like other people have been for you, you know, moving forward in life, then that's amazing. I read this thing, and I don't know if I have this exactly right, but, you know, kind of your three pillars are, you know, you move through things, you got to have perseverance, and you got to have support. And the thing about those three pillars is that there's another word in there called uncertainty. And you got to stay committed to those things, in my opinion, on what's going to help you be an amazing individual in life, right? Because just because you do X, Y, and Z doesn't necessarily mean that that other thing is going to happen. It's going to put you on a better path for sure and make you a better person. But maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. So my hope for you is that you know, the ultimate goal of having this relationship with your dad, you're able to stay the course and keep doing all these amazing things you're doing. I mean, I got recommended to one of my best buddies, David Gordon, you know, like, hey, you got to meet this guy in London. He's got this amazing story and he's become such a bright light, and you're helping people and physically train, and you're in Hermosa Beach and you wrote down 10 goals and you've been able to click all these things off. And just to have maybe this other goal, maybe your 11th goal of having this connection with dad, if that doesn't come together, it doesn't negate all the amazing things you've already done.
Absolutely. You know, and it wasn't about what I had to overcome. It was who I was determined to be in face of those odds. I think that's what I want people to really take away from, you know, some of the things we're talking about today is, you know, not what you have to overcome, but who are you going to be in that situation? Can you rise above and go through that travesty and not become the alcoholic or the drug addict or the person that doesn't try to live out their dreams and become whatever it is you want to become, you know? And I'm very proud to say that I still have love in my heart and hope. And it's very easy for me to walk around in a bad mood and have hate in my heart. And I have every reason to, but I don't. And I'm very proud of that, Mark. And I want to continue to try to give that to people and be someone that people can count on.
Yeah. The other thing you said earlier was just being really open about your feelings and sharing. I mean, the worst thing that any of us could do, I'm included in this list, everybody who's listening to this is included, is when you get pissed off or you're harboring negative thoughts about somebody or something, you know, it just doesn't serve anybody, right? It just doesn't allow you to be that positive force. You know, you're talking about, it was your uncle or somebody that came up to you and talked to you about, don't be that negative force in the room because you're so much better than that, right? And we all have that in us to be great. We all, that greatness lies there. So, you know, it's just, it's really an incredible story, and it's going to be fun to watch how this all plays out.
Yeah. You know, that's the cool thing, Mark. I'm just getting started, you know, and it's really excited for, you know, people to connect with me and see me on this journey and see how far I'm going to take it. And will I achieve these goals and write the book, make the film, have the platform like you, and then ultimately a Lewis Howes, Eric Thomas, you know? And it's been so cool to go on this journey and use this pain for good, you know? And it's not such a sad story anymore, Mark. If I find happiness, if I help a bunch of people along the way, if I feel joy and fulfillment and success on my own terms and my own way. And I've learned to do that and continually develop that. And through those blueprints of positive things that I do for myself, it helps me overcome the dark voice that we all have. You don't wake up with a perfect moment of clarity in life, Mark. There's no such thing. But the more you can put yourself in good situations and habits, the easier it is to fight the dark side when it does creep up on you and get the little voice in your head telling you, nah, not today. It's like, no, I know what's good for me, and I'm going to continue to do that. It's easier to fight back.
Where can people find you on this journey?
I'm most active on Instagram at It's London Bro. And I'm also on Facebook, London Papa Michael. And if you want to train with me, I have a fitness app. It's called Playbook. The link is on my Instagram. And you can train with me all over the world, anytime, anywhere. I've got nutrition on there, different workouts for men and women. You have 24/7 guidance and support. So I have clients in Africa, Sweden. It's amazing.
That's great. That's great. For everybody that's listening, I can visually see, I've done, you know, my research. I saw you, you know, in the gym and this and that, and this dude's ripped out. So he knows what he's doing for sure. Well, listen, love the story. And I'm your biggest fan, rooting for you from the sideline. And I wish you nothing but success. And I hope this all plays out the way you want it to. And, you know, like you keep doing is just bring that positive energy, that positive spirit to the table every day, and good things will happen.
Hey, thank you, Mark. It's certainly been a pleasure. And I'm going to be supporting you as well, my man. Thank you.
Okay. All right. There is the one, the only, London Papa Michael. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
As a quarterback, I love sports. But sometimes when I get hit on my blind side, front side, and put on my backside, I wonder, is Sport Clips better than sports? Because Sport Clips Haircuts is sports on TV, plus a relaxing haircut, hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo, which is better than sports plus Sport Clips. It's a game changer. Check in online at sportclips.com.